Thank you, Brother Dan. Good morning, brothers and sisters, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's too bad that, if I understand it right, that those people out there in cyberspace did not get to see the little kids. But we did, and we enjoyed them very much. And, of course, you know that the theme of their little songs was Thanksgiving. And I hope that I do not diminish from that anything I might have to say this morning. But to begin with, I want to bring you up to date, and maybe some of you have never heard, but my brother Marvin Case went into hospital last night with pain in his back and being very nauseated. His left arm was hurting pretty bad. After administration, he was taken to the hospital, and they diagnosed him with a heart attack. But they went to the Truman Medical Center in Lakewood out here in the east, and there they could not do any treatment for him other than prepare him for other treatment. And so he was transferred to St. Luke's Hospital there in Lee Summit about midnight last night. And there they proceeded to to catheterize his heart and put in one stent, and the medication of the blood thinner and things seemed to, and painkiller and all the treatment seemed to work real well. We left him about 1:30 and found that he was feeling much better. He was awake at that time and pain was gone. But they're keeping him in ICU there in St. Luke's through today and maybe part of tomorrow. We don't know for sure yet till they make the proper tests to see if how much damage was done to their heart, because they're sure there is some damage, but they don't think there's much because there was always some blood flowing through. And so that's one of the blessings that we have to remember today as we are assembled here and give God the thanks for his many blessings. I would like to turn to Psalms, the 116th Psalm this morning, to begin our thinking. And I'm going to read the whole Psalm. There's, I think, at least 8 different Psalms that's pretty much dedicated to Thanksgiving, but I've chosen this one because it tells us a little bit more what we're to be thankful for. Love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. So I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord perceiveth the simple, I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto my rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountiful with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pray my sorrows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. Precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Can I read that one again? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the soul of thine handmaiden, a son of thine handmaiden, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer unto thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So many of our holidays are, though they sometimes, and many of them have a root in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but today the people have forgotten what those holidays are all about. And this is a holiday season of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not just a day. I think it's the third Thursday in November. Thanksgiving is a everyday activity that we should each be involved in. We need to give thanks daily unto our God, as Solomon did here, or David did here, to praise God for those things that come daily unto us, for they do come daily, and many times we overlook them. But we know that he has sustained us in all things. There's another writing that I think is very precious to me. In the first chapter of Messiah, this writing was actually an utterance from a man by the name of Benjamin. King, is I right about that, King Benjamin? Yeah. I think I'm having a senior moment sometimes, but King Benjamin, who was a son of Messiah, who was a righteous king, a very righteous king, and had lived his life in service to his people and did not extract taxes from them for his service. He says he labored with his own hands and he did not take anything from them. And in the 48th verse of the first chapter of Messiah on page 212, he says, "Behold, I say unto you that because I have said unto you that I have spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow being, you are only in the service of your God." Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another. And behold, also, if I, whom ye call your king, who was sent this day spent his days in your service, and yet has been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, had ye ought to thank your heavenly king. I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all thanks and praise unto which your whole soul hath power to possess, to that God who hath created you and hath kept you and preserved you and caused that you should rejoice and has granted unto you that you should live in peace one with another. I say unto you that if you should serve him who has created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that you should live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say if you should serve him with all your whole soul, you would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he hath promised you that if you should keep his commandments, he would prosper you in the land. And he doth never vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if you'll keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And so it is that we oftentimes give thanks to those who have benefited us in some way or another, but we need to give God the thanks also. It's well that we say thank you. It's one of the phrases that has perhaps almost disappeared from our English language, but it's one we should always keep in mind and use daily. Thank you to my brother. Thank you to my sister. Thank you to my neighbor and my friend. Thank you, God, for giving them to me. For they're more precious than anything else, those friends. Some of you may have been here last night and at the dinner and heard one of the testimonies that was given about one of our members present. When he first came in contact with us, he learned that friends was more than somebody that would do a favor for you. But a friend was someone that you could do a favor for them. Someone you could lift up. And someone who was in service of their God in their efforts to help you. And so it is that we need to give God the thanks and the praise daily for our many blessings. And we only need to really look at ourselves in the mirror to see the things that God has done for us. Some of them are rather small, but he said here that God has preserved us from day to day. And he has blessed us with the breath that we breathe. He has provided us with the necessities of life. I am reminded of a story written in the book called The Hiding Place. I can't forget what the gentleman's name was. His last name was Ten Boom. But Corey Ten Boom was his daughter who wrote the book after the conquest and the problems there. And he was in Holland. And they suffered the persecution of the war at that time and of their enemy. But he was a watchmaker. And his daughter was wanting to some information about life and adulthood of a woman. And he said, Corey, you remember that once a month, we go to Amsterdam. And there we set our watches by the great clock there in the square. Once a month we do that. We went on the train and we come back on the train. Do you remember when I give you your ticket? I don't give you your ticket until you get on that train. And so it is that God sometimes will only give us the blessing when we need it. Not before, but only when it's needed at the last moment, perhaps. And he gives it to us in many forms sometimes. Sometimes not the form that we would like, but it's the form that he knows is the best for us. Indeed, we need to give God praise and praise his thanksgiving daily. Among the many blessings that we enjoy are found in the Book of Mormon. I think most of us appreciate the land in which we live. But I hope we will learn to appreciate it more in days yet to come. It's called a promised land. A promised land. In the book of Ether, page 717 in the Book of Mormon, starting with verse 27, I'm going to read to 35. And it came to pass that the Lord did go, and this was written by I'm not sure whether it was written by a man by the name of Ether, but it's written about one of his forebears who was a brother of Jared. And they were living in a time of the confounding of the languages at the Tower of Babel. And they knew that the language was going to be confounded, and they prayed to God that he would not separate him from not only his brother, Jared, but from their friends. And they asked God to let them retain their language, that they might live together and serve each other as well as God. And so God granted them that. And here in the 27th verse, it came to pass that the Lord did go before them and did walk with them as he stood in a cloud and gave them directions whether they should travel. It came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness and did build barges in which they did cross many rivers, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. The Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even into the land of promise, which was choice above all of the lands, which the Lord hath promised, preserved for a righteous people. And let us remember, it was preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whosoever should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land. It is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve the God of this land, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. Behold, this is a land which is choice above all the lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve the God, or shall be swept off when the everlasting decrees of God. It is not until the fullness of the iniquity come among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this is the part that is written to you and to me. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not be continue in your iniquity until the fullness come upon you. Come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage, from captivity, from all other nations under heaven, if he will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. I think most of us know the consequences of that promise made to the brother Jared and written by the hand of Ether. They came here about 2,200 years before Christ upon this continent, North America. Not in the part that we call the United States, apparently, but more likely in the area of Mexico or Central America. But they lived here from 2200 BC until about 600 BC, a long time. But they forgot what the God had told the brother Jared, that they had to serve the God of the land, or they'd be swept off. And they were, down to their last king. Only one remained. And they was taken off of this land, as it was said they would be, for two purposes. One, because they had gone into iniquity, and they loved bloodshed, and they couldn't stand each other, and they fought and fought and fought. But the other reason was that God had prepared another people to come to this land. 600 years before Christ, before the land of Jerusalem was taken into captivity, he provided for a man by the name of Lehi and his family and his friends to come to this land. They built barges or ships and came here. The reason he took off the others was so there'd be nobody here to contaminate them with the evil that they'd gotten into. They came here as a pure land, free from all other people. They're the only ones here. How many there was, I'm not sure, but probably less than 20. And they populated this land, and it grew and grew and grew. But they came under the same understanding and knowledge that it was a promised land. A land just like he told the brother Jared, that should be a land of promise to those who would serve the God of the land. The main prophet of that day, at the beginning at least, was Nephi, the son of Lehi. And he prophesied to the people, the day would come when they would be swept off. He saw it. He knew it. His soul was troubled, and he begged his people, even though they were divided into two different nations at the time, to repent and come unto God with all their heart. And believe me, the best way to repent and to understand it is to give thanks unto God. To realize that I am not the most important thing around. That I must realize that God has created me, and he's prospered me and provided for me from day to day. And part of the time, many of them did just that. And part of the time, they did not. And eventually, about 400 AD, they too fought. And the ones that had been righteous had turned evil. And it doesn't say that they are all swept off, but the majority of them were. And then he brought us. He promised the people that he would not bring anybody in this land or allow anybody to come to this land except those who he brought. God promised them that. So that they would not contaminate them with the evils and the secret combinations and the things of the world. And so it was for many, many years they dwelt alone. According to the history that's written here and our own history of the United States of America, some of the first ones was, the first one to come here was Columbus. He discovered this great land. And how did he know? If you read his writings, he wasn't looking for another land. He was looking for India, a good way to get there from where he was in Portugal or Spain or England. And so he knew that the world was round and he could travel west and come to the east from the backside. And yet God had placed in his heart, the Book of Mormon tells us that he was, that God directed him and he came here. And follow that came many, many others, the pilgrims and other nationalities from that land. They settled this land because it could be a land of promise. They envisioned a new Jerusalem here, and they struggled for that. they build a new nation, a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the purpose that all men are created equal. How thankful we should be for that privilege. How thankful we should be to live in this land. But as he promised, those who dwell here must serve the God of the land. Let me go to 2 Nephi now, we've got to cut it short because my time is running out. I'm going to go to 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter, starting with the 15th verse, and reading through. I'm going to kind of skip through this because it goes clear to the 70. I'm going to skip through it. Nephi had been teaching his brothers, and he had four of the brothers. He'd been teaching them the things that his father had taught him and the things that God had shown him. And they asked him, explain this to us. And so this is what he said. It meaneth that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. And by them shall our seed be scattered, and after our seed is scattered, the Lord will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which should be a great worth unto our seed. Wherefore it is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles, and being carried in their arms upon their shoulders. This will be the worth unto the Gentiles, and not only to the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel. Unto the making known unto the covenants of the Lord, of the Father, unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. And I would that my brethren, that ye should know that all kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all nations, in bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he'll bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered again into the land of their inheritances, and they shall be brought out of the obscurity and out of darkness. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior, their Redeemer, and their mighty one of Israel. And the blood of that great and abominable church, which is the whore of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads, and shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hands shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned against one another, and shall fall into the pit which they dig for the snare unto the Lord. And all the fight against Zion shall be destroyed. Our own nation is not ignored, but it says all nations will be involved in that great time when they shall be cut off. And we have seen that, yea, even our nation has turned into much iniquity, that we have making all kinds of efforts to be politically correct and not mention the name of our God or his son Jesus Christ in public. But thanks be to God that we can still do so here in this place, that we've not been deprived of that privilege yet. I saw a little bumper sticker I think it was yesterday or the day before, that said they took the Bible out of school and now we spend our tax dollars to pay for prisons. What can we expect of people that are not taught the ways of God? Yes, the United States was founded on the principles of the Bible. And yet we deny that. As a nation, we deny that. Because in the Constitution, we are granted religious freedoms. And we say to have religious freedom that the government cannot in any way force or describe or the people to be taught a special religion. And so they've gone so far as to say that you can't teach any religion. And it's true that we can all believe as we want to. But that doesn't mean that all things that we believe are true. The gospel is true. And it's the only truth that there is. And so it is that this great nation was raised up upon this land is our own. It's our own nation it's talking about. It's the one that gives us the privileges and the opportunities that we experience today. And it's our responsibility to use that privilege to the best of our ability and to the glory of God who gave it to us. And to give Him the thanks and the praise daily. If I was to read on farther over there, I think I'll go clear through to about the 60th verse. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan hath no power. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years. For he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. And now behold, I Nephi say unto you that all these things must come according to the flesh. It comes according to the flesh. Not our spiritual being, but according to the flesh. But behold, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it will be that they repent. And now I Nephi make an end of, for I have durst not speak further as yet concerning these things. Wherefore, my brethren, I would that ye should consider the things which I have been written upon the plates of brass, and they testify that a man should be obedient unto the commandments of God. Wherefore, you must needs not suppose that I and my father are the only ones that have testified and also taught them. Wherefore, if you shall be obedient to the commandments and endure to the end, you shall be saved at the last day. And thus it is. Amen. I'd like to turn now to James. James was one of the apostles that Christ chose upon this land, or in Jerusalem rather, when he was here and set up his church. James, first chapter, starting with the 17th to the 27th verses. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variance, neither a shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who beholdeth his face, his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be righteous and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. One of the commandments was given to us in the book of Revelations by John, who was also another one of the apostles, said, "To come out of her, O ye my people, to come out of the world, that we be not partakers of her evil deeds, that we not also become partakers of the wrath of God." And so it is that if we would cultivate our lives to recognize that all things come from God, and we are to give thanks and praise to him daily, it would open up the way where we'd be humbled, for we realize that we did not come thus far all by ourselves in our own strength and our own wisdom and our own knowledge, but only by the power and the hand of the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord.